Hello everyone, welcome to Melbourne City Council for meeting number 55 on Tuesday 30 June 2020. We are declaring the meeting open at 5:30 p.m. Welcome to all councillors, to management and to members of the public attending this evening's meeting. Thank you for attending virtually. We respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we gather, the Boonwurrung and the Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to their elders past and present. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place for cultural, social, educational and sporting events. Today we are proud to say that Melbourne remains a significant gathering place for all people of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture. As part of our efforts to contain the spread of COVID-19 and pursuant to the provisions of sections 394 and 395 of the Local Government Act 2020, council and committee meetings will be held virtually until further notice. During the period 1 May to 1 November 2020, councils do not need to provide for members of the public to physically attend meetings. Providing public access via a live streamed service satisfies the public attendance test during that prescribed period. This meeting is being streamed live this evening and the audio and video recording will be made available on the council's website by close of business tomorrow. The unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will also be available from the City of Melbourne's website as soon as practicable. I request that all mobile phones be turned to off or silent during the course of the meeting. For everyone that is here, thank you. The agenda comprises this evening 1 report from committee, 10 reports from management, 5 of which are confidential, and 2 items of general business. No apologies have been received. Thanks, councillors. If any councillor has either a direct or an indirect interest as defined in the Local Government Act 1989, can you please declare the type and nature of that interest prior to consideration of the relevant item? I'm calling on a councillor to move a resolution adopting the open minutes of council meeting number 54 held on Tuesday 26 May 2020. Councillor Riley, thank you. Second, Councillor Pinder. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare the motion carried. Thank you. Councillors, are there any items of general business arising that you would like to discuss from the minutes? No, thank you very much. No items of correspondence have been received in accordance with the Council's Conduct of Meetings Local Law 2019. All good? Sort of, kinda? And so we move on to status of confidential items. Councillors, does anybody wish to discuss the confidential status of the confidential items to be considered this evening? Nope, good, thank you. There's 1 report from committee for consideration in the open session under the major projects portfolio. It is at item 5.1 for us to consider this evening, Market Square Charter and Place Name. I am moving the recommendation in the council report and I am looking for a seconder.
Sorry, Lord Mayor, I'm happy to second that. Are you That's moving right. the recommendation in the council report or the motion on the
Sorry,
screen?
Sorry, you're right. Thank you, Councillor Leppett. I am moving the motion that is on the screen.
I'd be happy to second that.
How could I possibly forget that? After all of the effort that's gone into it. So thank you very much. I'm moving the motion that's on the screen and I am looking for a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Leppett. That is terrific. I am delighted to move the motion this evening, the one that appears on the screen. I'm going to let others speak to some of the items that have been added since the agenda was circulated, but what I wanted to say is that the Market Square Charter, as we know, was discussed in detail at a recent Future Melbourne Committee meeting with lots of submissions and good discussion and debate about the future charter and setting out the uses and therefore the design of this very important space in our city. It is the framework for the new public open space. It informs the design and it guides future management and operations. I am delighted that it also sets out a process from which we can look to name this space, which is currently known by the name of Market Square, to reflect the important Aboriginal heritage that surrounds this site. I think that will be terrific. I know that we have done a lot of listening as part of this process, and I think that has brought forward a number of items, which has not items, but items, issues, and ideas that have enriched this Market Square Charter. And I'm delighted that there's been so much discussion prior to us endorsing it this evening, if that's what happens, to ensure that we've captured as many elements as possible that will be important to the way that this site is integrated into our community and that it's used in the future. On that basis, I'm happy to be supporting this motion this evening, in fact, moving this motion, and over to you, Councillor Lippitt.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I certainly agree with those comments, but can I thank you not only as our chief spokesperson as Lord Mayor, but as chair of this portfolio. This is our biggest project and the order of the day for the last couple of years. And beyond that, of course, but under your chair has been consultation on the new elements that we've been designing. And this is a really, really important part of the Queen Victoria Market Precinct renewal project as a whole. The Market Square is going to be a truly remarkable place, and we have taken extraordinary care to make sure that before we even design it, we are getting the charter for uses right. And I want to thank all of the submitters for taking so much care in writing to us. Of course, the major debate on this happened 3 weeks ago in this place, and I refer everyone to that debate. Now that that debate is out of the way, and of course there were elements of that debate which needed to be had before we can conclude this debate tonight with a few tweaks to the charter, that debate considered a few fundamental issues about what the use of the Market Square would be going forward that were at sometimes beyond the scope of what the charter was. But tonight, focusing on the charter, and I've reread those submissions that came from places like the RHSV and others that were very thoughtful submissions about making sure that the charter properly acknowledges the state and national heritage citations, that this place that we're designing falls within, and as Councillor Watts, I'm sure, will talk to in a moment, making sure that those principles don't only do what they're proposed to do in the recommendation for management, but we're very clear when we're interpreting them that the role of this place isn't as a place on its own, but in the broader context, not just as the heritage context of the Queen Victoria Market Precinct, but this is a place that should contribute to, certainly not detract from, the economic viability of the market as well. But Councillor Watts might have more to say on that. I just want to thank councillors and submitters for the collaborative way that we're considering this in two stages. We did so 3 weeks ago, and there are further suggested changes here tonight, and I think that's been a robust but ultimately healthy process. And again, I thank submitters for taking so much care in writing to us and making so many suggestions. I certainly hope that some of these further changes, and we put some final changes in tonight to adopt a final version of the charter, subject of course to that name being submitted when we might change the title of this charter in a few months' time, that they will be well received. So I commend the motion as well. Thank you, Lord Mayor, and thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Councillor Lippitt. Other speakers to the motion? Councillor.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Could I ask for it to be scrolled down a little further, please? Good. Thank you. Well, I thank my colleagues for the inclusion of some of these, as far as I'm concerned, crucial amendments to the original motion. It is always difficult in such a complex document as a charter to satisfy the requirements that the community has and council has, management has, going forward. But it is my view that in its current form, it does satisfy a number of the concerns of the community and the various stakeholder groups that my colleague, Councillor Leppard, has alluded to. I note that it now, in my view, gives a greater emphasis on the heritage of this particular site and all of the QVM site, of course. It makes strong reference, or stronger reference, to the economic viability of the Queen Victoria market, which is essential for it to be remain compliant, is my understanding, and of course for our city. It also makes reference to the fact that there are many descendants of people in our current community buried at that site who will not have records, but nevertheless they will be acknowledged as being an important element in the whole square. And finally, I think that it pleases me to have it acknowledged that although we may not be acting on a market square steering committee at this point, that council can, hand on heart, say that it has listened to stakeholder concerns and has moved on that position, and I'm very pleased to have that. And I thank you all.
Thank you, Councillor Watts. Other speakers to the motion? Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Happy to support this recommendation and just to acknowledge Councillor Watts' work in crafting these additions. So I think that's important that we listen to traders and other advocates for the market, and I think we've reached a good position here that we can all support, hopefully, this evening.
Any other speakers to the motion? Councillor Riley.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Look, I do also acknowledge Councillor Watts' work in this. She's worked tirelessly. She's nearly driven us crazy, by the way, trying to get a result that we could all live with, and she has succeeded. And so I'm very pleased to be able to accept this motion and vote for it. Thank you.
Councillor Pinder.
I've been given instructions. I'll adhere to them. Just to say, yeah, I too agree that Councillor Watts has worked bloody hard on this, and I wish to celebrate her brave commitment and her strength in taking us all with her, to ensure the longer-term sustainability of the market for the people. I think that's very important, and really, Councillor Watts, You've brought this up, you've brought it to us, you've engaged in discussion and discourse that has brought about an outcome that I certainly know that you are happy with.
Councillor Oak.
I guess, I acknowledge Councillor Watts' it's passion for this, but I guess I'd want to make sure that it's clear that we all are, and it's not in any way negating or contradicting colleagues' praise for Councillor Watts. But I really want to make sure that this is, a lot of the amendments that we've got to this tonight have come as a result of work from many of us, and that we certainly sat in this chamber a few weeks ago and listened to the really excellent submissions and took on that advice and have heard time and time and again, concerns from the communities that make up the market, that they do want to make sure that they're being listened to and being heard. And I, for one, know that I am listening and I'm hearing what they're saying, and that is why I support the resolution before us. But I not in any way saying that the praise wasn't called for, I do acknowledge that many of us have spent a lot of time listening, and particularly, Councillor Leppard and the Lord Mayor and Aaron, Deputy Lord Mayor, a lot of us have spent a lot of time listening, and I think that this captures aptly the sentiment that is still out there around really wanting to make sure that as we move forward on big decisions like this spectacular open space, spectacular I say without having seen a design or even started that process, it will be an amazing contribution to the city. But I think that these changes, you know, really show that we are listening, that it is very important not only to the wider community but in particular to the Queen Victoria Market right now, but absolutely acknowledging the heritage of the space as well.
Thanks, Councillor Oak. Yes, Councillor Rees.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Look, I should begin by saying that when the idea of the Market Square Charter was first raised with me, I did have a small degree of concern about it, dare I say even some scepticism, because I worry that anything that adds further complexity to what is already a very, very complex project is something that we should approach cautiously. But look, I'm pleased to say that I have been convinced that, that the charter is actually quite a clever device to actually help get what can only be described as a very broad and disparate group of interests onto a page to help us chart a way forward for what is going to be such a extraordinary new public space for our city. And I would also like to acknowledge Councillor Rohan Leppett, who actually brought that idea before us in the first place. These things are always a team effort, so I know Jackie and I think DLM and Councillor Pinder and many others have played a very valuable role in refining what we've seen before us. And in your way, Lord Mayor, you've also helped us navigate to get to the document we have before us tonight. So thank you for the leadership that's been shown on this. And yes, let's hope it genuinely is a document that takes us forward.
Yes, Councillor Francis Kelly.
Hi, thank you. I think I want to just acknowledge that the charter is about a public space, and I think it has at times been confusing for people to recognise what once was a car park is now not a car park. The car park's gone somewhere else and there is a public space, and that public space can drive an extraordinary growth towards that end of the city and really support the market and I think bring extraordinary life back to the market. I think it's really important that we acknowledge that lots of people have lots of views about what that new space could deliver as a really exciting new public space, that end of the city. And I think that, that there's a reason this is a major project, Lord Mayor, and I think it's because not only is it about a big building and not only is it about the renewal of the market and not only is it about hearing all those voices, but it's actually about creating space at the end of the city that could be a new civic place that really revitalizes that whole area. So I do think this motion is good to acknowledge that there are important views about what that space may or may not be, but I am really excited about what that space will be in terms of how it will be able to draw Melburnians together and give them a new place to celebrate and enjoy.
Thanks, Councillor Francis Gilley. Any other speakers to the motion? I'm going to put it to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. It's unanimous. Thank you very much, councillors. We move on to reports from management. There are 5 reports from management for consideration in open session this evening. Records of assemblies of councillors is first off. Would anybody like a presentation? No, then I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion. Councillor Wood, councillor second, Councillor Riley, thank you. Would anybody like to speak to the motion, or the mover, sorry, seconder? Anyone else like to speak to the motion? Put it to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. Unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thanks. 6.2 ITT Contract 3624 Employee Benefit Recognition and Wellbeing Platform. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? Nope. I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion. Councillor Wood, a seconder. Councillor Oak, thanks. Over to you, Councillor Wood.
Thanks very much, Lord Mayor. So this is to recommend that Reward Gateway are awarded this tender for employee benefit recognition and wellbeing, the platform for it. It's an important part of, obviously, HR management, the reward and recognition of our employees. This tenderer was actually the best price, but also one of the big reasons they're being awarded this tender is because of the alignment with City of Melbourne's employee principles and values, and indeed it's actually a step down from the previous system that we used in terms of cost. That was about $160,000 annually. This one's in the order of $110,000 annually, so very happy to support this.
Thank you, Councillor Oak. Would anybody else like to speak to the motion? Then we put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thank you. Item 6.3, Precinct Development Program 2017 to 2021, Year 4 funding. Would anybody like a presentation on this item? No. I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion. Councillor Louis, thank you. A councillor to second the motion. Councillor Riley, over to you. Councillor Louis, thanks.
Thank you very much, Lord Mayor. Look, it's a great pleasure to be able to speak about this item. This program is probably a very long-standing City of Melbourne program, but also one that I think it offers great value to the city for a trader. Annual fee of about $50 a year. Annually, the City of Melbourne provides funding of up to $750. So the $624,000 we're seeking to approve tonight basically supports nearly 900 businesses geographically spread around Melbourne, from the Collins Street precinct to our historic cultural precincts of Lygon Street and Chinatown. It is also noted that we've got to commend the presidents, the committees of each of these individual precincts for the tireless, but also they're all volunteers. So for the City of Melbourne's funding, we do provide the funding to enable them to employ either a part-time or a little bit more than part-time coordinator to the precincts. Generally, I think the precincts are truly our grassroots from the city to connect to the larger businesses all around Melbourne, especially during the COVID-19. I think the City of Melbourne has worked tirelessly with each one of the precincts to try and see where we can help during the start of the crisis, and now hopefully during the recovery stage where we can provide more support. And I think each of the precincts have, to their credit, have initiatives that they certainly have spoken to their members about to try and get them into a recovery stage. I note last night, I think during the budget discussion, I think Jeff Pound, the pastor of the Northwest Melbourne Baptist Church, was saying that of the problems that he sees in Errol Street. We do have a strategic precinct in that area, the Northwest Melbourne precinct. And I think the officers over today, and I think over the coming weeks, will be connecting him with the president and with the committee of the Northwest Melbourne precinct to try and put some of his ideas to work together with the precincts to try to help with the revitalisation of Victoria Street and Errol Street. But more now that we thank the individual precincts. But also through the management, through Katrina, through Andrew, and particularly through Ches, who is the hands-on and the go-to person for each of the precincts, quite give them my thanks for the work that they do. But more importantly, I think going forward, this is the final year of the program. As we go forward during 2021 with the review, we hope the program continues. in the next term, and I look forward to working with the precincts in the coming year. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Rowling.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. As Councillor Lewis said, they are volunteers and they do work very hard in the precincts in a very unusual time that we're now living in. And to be motivated to keep going when the city is as it is not easy for them as well. And having listened to them and what they're planning to do for the next 12 months at the last precinct meeting, they're all looking beyond what this year is about. But I think this is also a great opportunity for the precincts to be far more innovative in the way that they now address the funding that they now have, because it's not as usual anymore. It now has to be, you know, exciting. What are you going to do? How do we get the people back into the precincts? And how do we stimulate the economy through the money that we are about spending on the precinct program? So I wish them all the precincts, the best of luck in the next 12 months as this funding is for, and I do hope that we have lots of success stories from the precinct presidents. Thank you.
Thank you. Other speakers to the motion? Councillor Pinder.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Look, I love this program, but Councillor Louis, I also feel that a long-standing program also requires a long-standing overhaul. And I think the review is long overdue, CEO, and as Councillor Riley said, we need some innovative thinking on it. This is one report that shows that we need to undertake this on a level playing field. And as such, I find it really hard to understand why members possibly can't afford a $50 membership fee, $50 per annum membership fee. I then put this back onto the precincts and I say, well, okay, what are you actually offering members? And how are you? Have you actually thought about reviewing your offer in these current times, these very dire circumstances? But how hard are you working for your members, which I know the presidents are, I know that for sure, but we need some innovation, we need some new thinking, and in these current circumstances, I think to be successful, and $675,000, which is a huge amount of money, one idea that comes to me is, you know, we spend $6 million on small business and hospitality grants. Are the precinct executive, are they mindful? Do they know who these recipients are and how and where could they tap into these recipients, these grant recipients, and maybe learn from them, ask them to convey their ideas of success to others who are perhaps struggling? So I look at it in a different way because it is a tough environment, tougher than we've ever faced before, no tougher than the 1991 recession, which I've been through. So I just think that we need to imbue these precinct executives with the executive layer with much more support from council and innovative thinking for them to be able to survive the next 12 months and be able to be of use to members.
Other speakers to the motion? Councillor Watts.
Thank you. It seems to me, I would agree with Councillor Pinder, it's a very long-standing program, and like many aspects of the business life in our city, the COVID strife, the debacle that they're going through is a good opportunity to rethink, and rethink they must. The city will have changed phenomenally and it won't be a possibility of resuming their trading life as they once knew it, I think. I remember my first contact when I joined council 8 years ago, or possibly nine now, I can't recall. My entree into this thing was because of the Carlton Residents Association, and the relationship with Carlton Traders was really quite an innovative attempt to actually have traders in Carlton at the time understand that their local community was their business, that they were not tapping into. And I'm wondering if other precincts based in the community are actually building on the resource that is their local community. But when I think through all of the precincts listed there, what I see is that Collins Street has an actual residence precinct of its own too. They all have a lot of residents that they could be liaising with, and I hope that that connection can be developed more fruitfully than it currently is, as far as I understand. The other thing that I would like to say is that the city has moved on since this particular group of precincts was developed. I would like to have another look at what other precincts are there who may not have been come together as formally as these ones. And so it pleases me greatly to see that it will be the whole program will be reviewed in the next few months, a year. So precincts are what makes Melbourne, and I hope that they will continue, and I hope such a program will grow and expand into the new trading environment.
Thank you, Councillor Rees.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Look, I'm very pleased to be able to speak to this motion as well, and I welcome the debate and constructive comments that are being made as we do debate this. I actually think that our precincts and our retailers are facing the deepest challenge that the city has faced ever. I know, like all councillors, you know, when you drive down our famous, or commute down our, you know, our famous heritage retail strips, so you walk around some of the great centres of the city, and you see those empty shops, you know, they're like teeth missing in a smile. It's just not right. They're a blight on our streets, and you know, it just shows you the magnitude of the challenge we face. We've all known, I think, periods before when we've seen empty shops along some of our heritage strips, but certainly I've never known a period where we've had empty shops in the central city, and that's what we're seeing at the moment, and that I think shows the depth of what's happening out there at the moment. Of course, COVID-19 and the economic downturn has been a huge part of that, but so too have the changes that are going on in the way that people engage with retail and experience retail with the rise of online retailing. A quick statistic, Kogan.com is now worth more in market value than Myer and David Jones combined. Kogan.com is worth more than Myer and David Jones combined. Myer and David Jones employ 20,000 people. Kogan.com employs 150 people. That's what's going on in retail in this country at the moment. That is the scale of how a market is shifting. And so there's probably never been a more important year for these precinct grants to be made. And as has been said, we do need innovation. If you look back to what happened to Melbourne in the 1990s, when we had the last major sort of economic downturn, it actually was a great period of innovation in retail. If you think about what happened in our city laneways and how they sprung as great shopping strips. If you look at some of the strips like Brunswick Street, Chapel Street, they reinvented themselves out of that recession. And I really hope that we see something like that happen again. But it's not going to happen without innovation. It's not going to happen without new thinking. And the City of Melbourne, we can't do it alone either. We need those precinct associations to, you know, they've got the fight of their lives on their hand. We've got their back, we're there supporting them, but they really need to step up and innovate, and together we can get through this.
Councillor Oak?
Councillor Rees just said a lot of what I was going to just praise Councillor Pinder for, actually, in terms of encouraging the precinct associations and the coordinators that the funds go towards in particular to really be very innovative. I mean, I know it is very, you know, some of my favourite streets in the whole world are in our municipality, you know, where that Ligon Street, Macaulay Road, Errol Street, you know, they're all fabulous shopping strips. But yeah, it is, you know, and it's not just during COVID, but there has always been or at least in the last few years, empty shop fronts. But what I've loved, there's probably very few things I've loved about being in lockdown, but is actually reconnecting with my local shopping strips, because I've never spent so much time in my postcode ever. And seeing, you know, of course it's devastating, and I don't in any way want to make light of it, but because they are small businesses who are struggling, but seeing how our, you know, municipality has got behind our shops in our streets, you know, be the and the innovation that the small businesses have had to, you know, go to cope with the new restrictions, you know, moving cafe fronts to their front doors, and, you know, the way that they've changed their shop fronts and the way that they interact, you know, Instagram, social media. I've not engaged with the local cafe so much through social media, and when they've, you know, put out requests as to when certain things are available, and then people are there at certain times. So, you know, the innovation that I've seen through the use of social media, but also the way they've reconfigured their shop fronts, of course, that in no way means that they're doing well necessarily, but absolutely, to Councillor Pinder's point, it's that you know, what we can do to help the precinct association to be innovative rather than doing more of the same, I think is really great. And maybe, you know, we're always talking about sharing and learning with other cities, and be that through the Council of Capital City Lord Mayors, whether there's an opportunity of, you know, encouraging their precinct associations to talk to our precinct associations, because the context around COVID probably is, yes, we can look internationally, but, you know, it's probably, you know, what Sydney precinct associations are doing. Maybe there's an opportunity there to, you know, because innovation is about, you know, how do you replicate a success in another city, in another location, and context is always very important when it comes to replicating great ideas. So, anyway, good report, good luck, and yeah, innovation seems to be the key here.
Councillor Lou.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I won't echo what everyone else has said. I think it was probably two things for me. One, I think having been in many of the precinct program meetings and everything, and it's great, the collaboration between all the different ones, and I would say it's more so needed now between all the precincts, you know, rather than just kind of looking after their own. It's more a whole of city approach, because it's no longer the different things that are affecting it. It's affecting everyone. I note that, you know, for example, Docklands, you know, we have the issues with the Central Pier, you know, which has really taken away a lot of the, you know, business and everything, and how you know, that's, you know, there's a lot of need, and, you know, it's great to hopefully see all the other precincts, you know, helping support that, because, you know, at the same time, you know, if all of us succeeds, then the city succeeds. The second part, I think, is also really getting the precinct to really look at who are their market and what is the destination, because, to be honest, you know, as we know, interstate and also Asian market is going to be pretty much non-existent for the next probably year or two. So who is really going to be market? Who are you really going to target? And I think that we really need to actually re-evaluate. The precincts really need to re-evaluate their market strategy, the destination, understanding who are the consumers, what they want. And, you know, these are things are that we have a lot of information, data and knowledge that we can provide to them, because we have all these things. So I would actually ask, instead of not only just, you know, saying to us, we need support in this, but also asking us, you know, how should we tackle these problems? What data do you have to help support us? What are some of the connections that you have? Because I think that is probably more beneficial and more helpful than, you know, financially. So looking forward to supporting all the different precincts. I know that Victorian government now has used the term precinct now, you know, so I would say City of Melbourne has taken the lead on that, so that, you know, but, you know, and again, it just shows that how can the our local precincts tap into the state government's definition of precincts, because that, I'm sure there's a lot of synergy in that. And, you know, we've got some great people working here now in City of Melbourne from the state government in these areas, which we can help. So, sorry, I've taken a lot of time, but I think it's, these are some important things that I think seem to trend that's been happening in the market.
Thanks. Any other speakers to the motion? No. Well, I will. I just wanted to say that I acknowledge all the points that have been made. I acknowledge that we're at the end of the four-year funding round, so that is why, the main purpose of the review. But I also just wanted to do a shout-out to all of the amazing people that volunteer through these precinct associations to provide leadership, to come up with ideas, to put in their hard work, their efforts, their resources as well to create events and attractions and initiatives to help make their area, their precinct, the best, I think, as Councillor Oak was saying, the best in the world. And those efforts and over and above, you know, their day jobs and running their own businesses, etc. So I really just wanted to acknowledge those efforts as part of this discussion. All those in favour of this motion, please raise your hands. It's unanimous. So that motion carried. Thanks, councillors. 6.4, procurement policy review. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? No, I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion. Deputy Lord Mayor, councillor to second. Councillor Oak, thanks. Over to you, Deputy Lord Mayor.
I won't speak too long, Lord Mayor, because we've had quite a lot of goes at this through portfolio and obviously as a councillor group as well. We have to, under the Act, review our procurement policy each year, which we're doing. That's part of our requirements under the Local Government Act, but we've certainly picked up, I think, the flavour of true sustainability, so that's social, economic, and also environment. And I think importantly, we've made it very clear that the weightings in this policy are minimum targets. And, you know, the example that is probably the best one to use, if road base, if the stand becomes 50% recycled material or 80% recycled material, the policy doesn't dissuade you from entering that as a mandatory requirement. So it then wouldn't have a weighting. It's just a mandatory part of the tendering process. So thanks to Michael Ravin and the team and Dennis for reviewing the policy. And I think the consistency in approach and the benchmarking against other capital city councils is excellent. So I'm happy to endorse it.
Councillor Oak.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Thanks, Deputy Lord Mayor. I also thank the team for the work that they've put into this. Sort of following on from our previous conversation and other conversations that we're having at the moment in the COVID space, just to acknowledge that how important it is to get the considerations around sustainability, be that social, economic or environmental, you know, getting that right and really strengthening that and making sure that people are at the centre of our, economic or our funding purchasing decisions as we move forward. And when, you know, putting people at the centre means that you're making social, equitable and environmental decisions in the way that we purchase items through council. So, and yes, absolutely benchmarking with capital cities in Australia, but I really, you know, look, it would be great for us to consider or reconsider how we make sure that we're also benchmarking ourselves internationally as well and look to be a leading international city with respect to procurement strategy, especially as cities are looking to economic drivers for their green recoveries.
Thanks, Councillor Oak. Any other speakers to this motion? Councillor Pinder.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. It's just absolutely fantastic to see, as Councillor Oak has highlighted, having those social, that you know, people experiencing disadvantage as at the top of the social sustainability considerations. But it is so important that it's not just lip service. You know, we have to take into consideration from two of my key things, and that is the hidden and visual disability and giving more opportunity to these people and our young African Australian youth, and soon most employers in town will hear from us. But it's so important that we bring these prospective employers together as well and show them, demonstrate to them that we're really serious about this, because if we don't do it now, it will just keep going on the way it is. And disability and our young African Australian cohort are two key areas for me of interest to try and raise opportunity for them, increase opportunity amongst our city businesses particularly and people whom we do business with.
Thank you. Any other speakers to the motion? Councillor Watts?
Just very briefly, it seems we don't have a huge arsenal of levers or weapons, but this is one of them to set things aright. So I'm very happy to support this motion because I know that the conversations and the directions of policy underpinning this have been very well thought through. So I commend all of those involved.
Thanks. Any other speakers to this motion? All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so I declare that motion carried. Thank you. Item 6.5, Maintenance and New Works Portable Communications Services Contract 3617. Councillors, would you like a presentation on this item? I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion. Deputy Lord Mayor, councillor to second. Councillor Oak, over to you, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. So this one is, the recommendation is to award it to the incumbent. Not the cheapest, but very, very similar in price where this incumbent picked up on was their ability to do the job in terms of our portable communications services. And obviously the total contract's over the $150,000 that we have to tender for. So very happy to recommend CSC Crosscom to remain as our provider.
Thanks, Councillor Oak.
Only that I do raise this every time, but absolutely support the resolution. And in light of the procurement policy that we've just passed, it would be great that, in the reports moving forward, that there's more detail around the social and environmental points that are raised, but there's no detail. So, it just says that the service providers indicated that they'll include environmental sustainability, but it'd be great that if we're wanting to showcase what our policy is meant to be striving for, then we should have more detail in these reports moving forward. But otherwise, happy to support it.
Good. Any other speakers to this motion? Then I'm asking you to raise your hands if you're in favour. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thanks, councillors. Well, this concludes reports from management to be considered in open session this evening. We do have two items of general business for consideration. The first one is 7.1, Notice of Motion, Councillor Leppett, Delegations Policy Amendment. I'm calling on Councillor Leppett to move the motion.
Moved as per the paper, thank you.
Thank you. I'm calling on Councillor Oak to second the motion. Over to you, Councillor Leppett.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I believe the motion and background speaks for itself. It's a relatively simple change to the delegations policy. It just removes the ambiguity out of the equation as to when council or a relevant special committee should consider final concept plans for major city works projects that impact on the public realm. I believe that as a matter of course, those items should come to a public open forum, and knowing that in advance helps us plan our capital works forward program more consistently and predictably, and so I commend the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Oak.
I support the motion. Obviously, I did in seconding it, and thank you, Councillor Leppett, for crafting it and the background explaining as to why it's been brought forward. And, as per usual, love your work.
Good. Any other speakers to the motion?
I just want to thank Councillor Leppett. Brilliant motion. Thank you.
All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous. Declare that motion carried. Thank you. Notice of motion, item 7.2, Councillor East Save Community TV in Melbourne, channel 31. I call on Councillor East to move the motion.
So moved as the amended text on screen shows.
On the screen, good. Councillor Watts seconding the motion. Thank you. Over to you, Councillor East.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Look, in my 4 years on council, I've probably never been so happy to move an amended motion as I am tonight, because the previous motion was very much about saving a vital community service, whereas the motion before us now is one of congratulation. As I was saying to a councillor colleague earlier today, most days in politics and in government is like the slow boring of hard boards. It's hard work. And then every now and again, a win comes along and it feels great. And it reminds you about how important public life is and the work that we do with the vital institutions in our community. And Channel 31 is really a vital service for Melbourne and for Geelong, based as they are on William Street. It's vital for people like my 93-year-old Yaya, who watches the Greek church service on a Sunday morning. It's a vital service for the 1,000-plus volunteers that work at Channel 31 each week, putting that broadcast together. You know, amongst volunteers are the next generation of broadcasters and technical experts for our media industry. I haven't worked myself as a volunteer at Channel 31, but I did work in community radio. That's where I got my start in journalism at 3MU and then later at Triple R. I do know that our Deputy Lord Mayor indeed worked as a volunteer at Channel 31, as did, you know, Hamish and Andy, as did Waleed Ali, as did countless household names. So who knows what great talent will come forth as a result of decision today. But, and importantly, we will see the ongoing broadcasting of community voices, of community stories, stories that wouldn't be told, voices that wouldn't be heard if there wasn't that community TV station there. There are so many thank yous to be made in the decision today for Channel 31's broadcasting licence to be extended for another 12 months. I guess at the top of that list is Paul Fletcher, the Commonwealth Communications Minister, who has the power over these things and who made the decision, certainly left it to the very last minute, but better late than never in these things. Also acknowledge Josh Frydenberg, the Commonwealth Treasurer, who has been working behind the scenes for his hometown. Very, very pleased for his efforts. I think Martin Foley has been absolutely central to this win, and he's very generously contributed $120,000 to help Channel 2031 make the transition to digital. And, you know, I think with a decision like this, it makes clear what we all knew, and that is that Martin Foley is the best arts minister in Australia. And, you know, telecommunications is a complex area, and if he can work with the people of Melbourne and the city of Melbourne to get to a great result like this, we can only imagine and foresee where we'll be able to get to in other areas of complex policy for this city going forward. I'd also like to acknowledge the great work of our Lord Mayor Sally Capp, who threw herself into this one as well, as she does with most things, working the phones both in Spring Street and in Canberra to help us find a way forward. Justin Hanney, who never hesitates to take a forward step either, has also been very, very helpful. Finally, though, I think we need to acknowledge the brilliant work of Shane Dunlop, who is the General Manager at Channel 31. He is a magnificent Melburnian. He is a legend in community TV. And you know, those 1,000 young volunteers there and so many others who benefit from Channel 31, they really do have Shane to thank for this win. And so we say hooray, go forth and continue to do great things for our city. And, yep, this is a happy occasion.
Thanks, Councillor Rees. Councillor Watts?
Well, that's my colleague has actually covered it really, really well, but there's lots about this that I just love. And anything that gives students the opportunity to cover election night on a national scale, trying their best and engaging with their community about their democracy, I mean, how could it be? It doesn't get a lot better than that. does it? And it's not often you hear of a really, really good last-minute reprieve in this way. I see what you mean about Shane Donlop. Terrific effort. He's been trying, according to the news report, trying to transition to digital broadcast for years, but has not yet worked out a revenue model to keep the station afloat. So I reckon the City of Melbourne had better reach out and offer expertise in that regard, don't you? That's something we do really well, I think. So well done all, and very nice, good news.
Other speakers, Councillor Wood?
I'm very happy to support this motion, and not often that you get advocacy turning around that quickly in politics either. So well done to Councillor Rees and to all involved to be having a good news rather than a push for something to be off the chopping block. It's well and truly off the chopping block, which is excellent. And I think picking up on Councillor Watt's point that sometimes students ask very simple questions which are very difficult to answer. So some of the best interviews I've seen are from young people, and Councillor Rees is right. I did spend some time on Pluck television, Pluck Youth TV it was, and we used to interview people on beanbags. Got my first big break in interviewing Chris Tarrant. It was a big coup at the time because he didn't do interviews. So we had the only interview for the year of Chris Tarrant. But it's, I think, you know, the bigger part of this is the employment it creates, the fact it is part of our creative industries, and that, you know, Channel 31 just has such diverse programming. So, you know, different languages, different walks of life, and you know, the list of people that got their start on Channel 31 is absolutely extensive. I think Rove McManus was another name on the list. So fantastic that you know, people from all levels could come together and actually advocate and bring about this wonderful result. So well done to everyone involved.
Any other speakers?
Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Leppett.
Thank you, Councillor Rees, for bringing this motion and the amended motion to us. Always enjoy a motion that congratulates other levels of government for collaboratively making excellent decisions, just like 7.2 last week. I think that this is a really good decision, and even though it's the 30th of June and tomorrow is the 1st of July, sorry, I was trying to be funny. I apologise to everyone. And we've got a 12-month extension. And to get a 12-month extension, you need to plan ahead a little bit more. So I'd like to see more extensions next year that aren't announced on the 29th of July 2020, but are announced months and months and months in advance, because Channel 31 is a truly excellent contributor to the entire screen ecosystem. It's not just an important broadcaster in its own right, but like the city knows, we support small independent arts organisations across the field in order to give creatively minded people places to get a start. And that's what Channel 31 does for television and the screen industries. And I completely agree with Councillor Rees that Minister Foley is the best creative industries minister in the country, and he should be congratulated for the $120,000 grant that was announced yesterday. That is a fabulous thing, and I very much hope that we're not in a position where we're lobbying again in June of next year, but that sanity can prevail, because I think that we shouldn't be hoping for stuttered restarts of a community television program that supports a really important community at the last minute, but that the Commonwealth should just keep the licence running. They should keep, at no cost to them, of course, they should allow this to continue. And if Channel 31 can find the resources in other ways, as it's managed to do for years and years and years, to do its work and contribute to that screen economy and industry as it has done for so long, then it should be able to do that. So thank you again to Councillor Rees for bringing this to us and giving us the opportunity as a Capital City Council to spruik the awesome work that Channel 31 and everyone who volunteers their time to make it such a wonderful thing has been able to do. So thank you.
Good. Councillor Pender?
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Look, like Councillors Rees and Wood, I too have had involvement with Channel 31, but as a subject, and have always found it amazing, brilliant to be able to impart a little bit of yourself to an audience that is so varied. You know, you overlay that with the multicultural community programs that continue run continually, and it's just a fabulous environment. And that's something that Greg D, who years ago he was the general manager of Channel 31, is now with ABC TV. I mean, he actually cultivated this, and I don't know what state he left it in, but I would love to speak with Shane Dunlop about monetizing the delivery of their service, and I'm sure the City of Melbourne could also support that, you know, because fee-for-service is it has done it before. It needs to revive it and try and get it back on track and slowly build up again and convey and show both state and federal governments that it can be a viable option, albeit, you know, with the community focus, of course.
Councillor Riley?
I just wanted to say thank you to Councillor Rees for bringing this forward. I like this motion much better than the first one that you put forward. This one does have an air of accomplishment that has come forward from not only the Commonwealth estate, but also all of the community. And I think at listening to everyone tonight, we've all had some experience with Channel 31 throughout our lives. And the volunteers that do the work, the passion that goes into something like this, is something that we cannot let go. It's part of the fabric of Melbourne.
Councillor Lilly.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. And again, it's great to see how when federal government and state government can come together to find a common denominator to which then they can support. I think, you know, it's been an amazing journey. Love the fishing on Channel 31. And I think it's a win for the community. I just want to also echo Councillor Leppard's part, which is more assurance, because I think it's you know, the it's never easy going through things like this, and I think the longer that you leave you know, uncertainty, the longer it creates the stress, and also the you know, on community organizations such as this. So I think I also echo the fact that, you know, we should continue on and give them assurance that they are able to operate, give them that confidence to be able to plan ahead, because we all know longer lead time will lead to better programming, and also give people the confidence to know that, you know, there is something, you know, post COVID-19, because I think that's going to be really, really vital to in terms of industry, and also just giving people that assurance.
Thank you, Councillor. I was just going to comment, and that is to be in support of this motion, to acknowledge that Councillor Rees has absolutely pushed and pulled us through this process to make sure that we really put our best effort into helping get a great result for Channel 31. So well done, Councillor Rees. Your attachment to and energy for this for Channel 31 and this topic has been admirable, so that's terrific. Early in the discussions with federal government, the focus was on audience numbers, and after much discussion, I guess, cajoling, we convinced them that whilst audience numbers are limited, and can I encourage everyone to start watching more of Channel 31, because it'll help with the future revenue strategies as well. The main point here that was so important was about all of the people that participate in putting Channel 31 together, from Shane and his leadership to everyone who is building skill sets and bringing skill sets, who is building sets, Councillor Leppert, who is expanding their networks and bringing their networks, who is gaining experience and sharing experience through Channel 31. It is the most amazing pathway for talent at every element of production, and that's often missed. It's not
not just about, it's great, all that on-screen talent, but it's also all of the people that work behind the scenes as well and that go on and make a difference in this industry right across Australia. It was particularly important to raise those issues during COVID when increasingly the opportunities for people are reducing, and this was a way in which we could maintain those opportunities for talent going forward. So I'm really pleased that the Minister listened and was willing to do that through this process. That was fantastic. It seemed to be quite late in the piece getting to a decision, but nonetheless, we got there, and that's the main thing. We do need to help Channel 31 transition. I know Shane will be looking for that assistance, and I think together with the state government particularly, we have a great role to play there. And just to encourage everybody to maintain their enthusiasm and energy for Channel 31 so that we can ensure it's not just 12 months of a future, but it's years of a successful future for that channel. So congratulations, Councillor Rees. Thanks, Councillor Watts, for your support, and I'm supporting this motion. If there are no other speakers, I'm putting it to the vote. All those in favour? It's unanimous, so we declare the motion carried. Thank you very much. That concludes items of general business in the open session. Are there any items of urgent business for consideration this evening? None? Then I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion displayed on the screen to close the meeting to the public so that we can consider the confidential items. Thanks, Councillor Francis Gilley. Councillor to second. Councillor Pinder. Putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour? It's unanimous. So we declare the open meeting closed to the public at 6:36 p.m.